morning. Kind of did a little bit of ice skating there on the parking lot coming in, but that's okay. It's good to see everybody out this morning. A lot more, actually, than I expected to see with the weather the way it is. Not because of Charlie not being here, but because of the weather. So we'll get started here. Take your hymnals and turn to page 650. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or... Well, I'd originally planned to use, not necessarily the sermon, but this particular passage of Scripture. Yeah. John. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, we do. Nancy Becker. On the 27th. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Well, Charlie taught me well. I was about to completely forget that. I even had a note. Don't forget the birthdays. All right. I'd originally planned to use this scripture last time I was scheduled to preach back before New Year's. But because of the weather and everything, that didn't happen. So some of you might hear this, at least the title and what I'm about to speak about, and say, well, you know, that's a New Year's sermon. It's, you know, it's past New Year's. January's almost over. But yes, when I looked at the calendar this morning and realized this was the last Sunday in January, you know, it seems like January just flew by. There's still 11 more months to this year. And you know, many people make New Year's resolutions, but just as many that make them almost break them. And I'm not going to ask you how many of you made New Year's resolutions and how many of you broke them already, you know, a month into a year. But, you know, I myself am guilty of that. And I've heard preachers stand up before and preach against making New Year's resolutions because they're like, well, you're never going to keep them, so there's no point in making them. I'm not going to do that because I personally believe that they're good things to do. It's a good thing. It's a good practice. What I'm going to preach about this morning, although, yeah, it's a New Year's sermon, I think we're still new enough into the year that it's relevant. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians and chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I want to mainly focus on verses 1 through 4, but I'll read through verse 14 of Colossians chapter 3. It says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, cleanness, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence." I actually had to look that word up last night. That is an interesting word. Hard to say, too. "And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now you also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for giving us this opportunity to come together, to worship you, to sing praises to you, and to fellowship one with another. I just pray that you would have your hand upon the remainder of this service, that whatever you have for us will come to pass. I pray, Father, that you would speak through me and that my words would not be my own, but that they would be yours. Thank you for your blessings, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were going to give this message a title, it would simply be an old challenge for a new year. Over the course of last year, a couple of the times I spoke, I talked about, in the book of Joshua, when Joshua says to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Talked about elsewhere at another time, putting off the old man and putting on the new. And this is kind of along those same lines. You know, when you come upon a new year, like I've already talked about this morning, many people make resolutions. They decide of things that they're going to do that are different over the course of the new year, whether it's losing weight, whether it's saving money, whatever it may be. And like I said, I think that's a good thing to do. A new year is a perfect opportunity to look back upon the past year and see the things that worked, the things that didn't work, and improve upon those things. When I think about it, especially this morning when we got these, getting ready to start doing our taxes. And when you do that, you got to look back upon everything that you've done in the past year. Gather up all your receipts, gather up everything that you've spent money on over the past year, and put that all together. Essentially, you're taking an inventory of what you've done. As a Christian, we should, with the start of a new year, take an inventory of ourselves in Christ. We should look back upon the previous year and see, take an account of everything that we've done for Christ. In the military, we have each year what's called an EPR and OPR. It's either an enlisted performance report or an officer's performance report. And that's something that your supervisor puts together. And it just basically is an account of everything that you've done over the course of the past year, good or bad. You get a point rating from 1 through 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. And at the end of that, you want all 5s because that's the best you can get. Many businesses also have the same practice. And, in a business, in the civilian sense, it's, that's what's going to determine whether you get a raise, how much your raise is going to be. In the military, especially in these times, if you've got EPRs or OPRs that don't have good ratings, here in a couple months, a few boards are going to start meeting because they're cutting back on the military. Air Force alone is losing 25,000 people. And so they're going to look at everything that you've done over the course of not just a year, but your entire career. And they're going to say, you were good, but you weren't up here, so you're done. So we as Christians can kind of use that as an example of what we need to do. And just as when you take an inventory of your business or you take an inventory of your taxes, there's a few different things that you got to take into mind. First of all, in verses 1 through 2 of chapter 3 in Colossians, we see that some things must be retained. Not everything is bad, or hopefully not everything is bad in your life, because if you look back and you see, that was good, that was good. Well, that wasn't. So we're going to push that aside, but we're going to keep the good. And then the Apostle Paul uses a few examples and gives a few examples of some things that we should look back on and retain in our lives. in verse 1, we see that we need an awareness of our foundation. We see then Apostle Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. As a Christian, our foundation is upon Christ. You know, the old children's song that we used to sing in Sunday school, you know, build your house upon the rock, not upon the sand. Because when the storms come and batter against that, if the house is built upon the sand, then it'll knock it down. Just as the story in the Bible of the wise man and the foolish man. But our foundation is upon Christ. And the Apostle Paul even says later on, since you are risen with Christ. So he's discussing our spiritual position. You see, when Christ died on Calvary, there were a few different things that happened. One of the things that happened was the veil in the temple was torn in two. Because up until that time, the people of God couldn't commune directly with God. They had to go through a priest. And, you know, I find it interesting when you study biblical history and you look back in time that once a year when the priest would go in to ask for forgiveness for the sins of the people, they'd tie bells around his feet and a rope around his waist. You might say, well, that's kind of odd. The purpose of that was because they knew that as long as they heard those bells ringing, that he was still moving and that he was still alive. But when they'd hear those bells stop, that they'd, well, he must have had some sin in his life. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't to that point where God wanted him to be. So he was struck dead, and they pull him back out with that rope. But one of the things that happened when Christ died on the cross, you'll see in the Bible, in the accounts of the crucifixion, the veil of the temple was torn in two, literally torn in two, meaning that we could then have that direct communion with God. We didn't have to go through a person. So we see that's our foundation that we need to retain when we take this self-inventory. In the latter part of verse 1, we also see that we need to retain our attention to focus. Later on in the chapter, in verse 10, we see that we should have a deeper knowledge of Christ. Later on, he gives examples of things that we should do without and things that we should retain, but it's basically pointing to a clean and holy life. When you claim the title of a Christian, it doesn't matter, you know, what denomination you are. Many times people get caught up on the denomination thing. And, you know, I used to have a friend of mine that I sang with in the quartet that he would stand in front of a church because we sang in all kinds of different churches. We didn't just, you know, sing in one denomination of church. We sang in all different kinds. And he used to stand up before when we'd give an invitation, and he'd say, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Nazarene, or Tangerine. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you trust in God as your Savior, and that you know that you know that you know that he has saved you. And so living that clean and holy life, although is not going to save you, it's a requirement of our salvation once we accept Christ. We see later on, Paul gives us some godly virtues. He also, in the later part of the chapter that we didn't read, he gives us holiness in our domestic life, holiness in our social life, effective prayer life. In the fourth chapter, he gives us even a fruitful witness. These are things that you should retain in your life. Elsewhere, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And sometimes people get caught up on those fruits of the Spirit, trying to figure out what exactly it means. And anytime you have either a vegetable plant or a fruit tree, whatever it may be, the end goal of all of your hard work that goes into that plant or that tree is producing fruit or producing a vegetable. You want to produce something out of it. You aren't just watering it, pulling the weeds, tending to it every single day just to see the plant. You want to see the fruit. And elsewhere, we see that the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there a little bit, but these are things that we need to retain in our lives when we take that inventory. Verse 2 also says that there are some things that not only must be retained, but some things that must be released. Second part of verse 2 says, first part says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Those are those things that need to be released. You know, when over the course of the past couple of months, I guess it's been, I've been moving slowly but surely from Waldorf, Maryland to Springfield, Virginia. And, you know, so I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, "You're still moving? Can't believe you're still moving. My goodness. How long is it going to take you?" Well, you know, I grab a little bit at a time and make my way across the bridge down the highway over here. But, you know, part of that, you know, I see some of the things that I've had that didn't even realize I still had when I'm packing things up, when I'm looking and unpacking things. And I realize, you know, I don't really need that. It's something I haven't used in a long time. It's a shirt that doesn't fit anymore. Whatever it may be. And so those are things that you get rid of, things that you release. You know, coming up here, hopefully, when the weather warms up just a little bit, some people will start doing spring cleaning. When you do spring cleaning, or at least when we did spring cleaning in my house, we'd usually do one room at a time. We take everything out of that room and just clean it down. And then we put everything back in. Except when we were putting the things back in, we didn't just put every single thing back. We'd look at the things that were in that room and try to figure out, yeah, that's something that I need. No, we can do without that. Let's get rid of that. So when you take this inventory, we've talked about those things that you must retain, those things that you got to keep in your life, that foundation of God, those that life of holiness that we should be striving for. When you claim the name of a Christian, that name truly means Christ-like. And in this life, we're not going to be perfect. No one has ever been or will ever be except Jesus Christ on this earth. Someday we will be transformed into that holy body, and we will be like Christ. But the life of a Christian should be spent striving to be Christ-like. If we're trying to be Christ-like, we've got to let go of some things that are in our life. We've talked about it before, putting off that old man and putting on the new man. Paul gives a few examples a little bit before what we've read in chapter 2. He talks about false doctrine. You know, in this life, in this world, in our society, there are a lot of false doctrines. There are a lot of things out there that are trying and competing to get your attention. You know, almost every day you see someone come out with a new book saying, well, you know, this is what actually happened. This is the true story of what happened in the Bible, or this is the true story of who Jesus is. This is the lost testament of Jesus. This is this or that. And they're trying and like I said, just to compete for your attention. The Bible says that in the end times, that's going to increase. And so we see that, yes, there are a lot of different false doctrines out there. There are those that will try to steer you in a direction that is completely contrary to God's word. So those are some of those things that you need to release. Some other ones are, later on, Paul mentions vain deceit. The phrase literally means, when you look at the original language, it literally means empty tricks. It refers to those who deceive through trickery or through a slick message. You know, a lot of times, these folks that are coming forward with false doctrines are seem pretty slick. You know, I saw something on TV a while back, and I decided to watch it because I thought, well, this might be a little interesting. But it was basically trying to, it was sold as explaining the Bible. You know, going from beginning to end, explaining the Bible. And I watched a little bit of it, and I thought, this is a bit far-fetched. And it went through, and it tried to explain everything away that was in the Bible, all the miracles, all the great things in our Bible, and it tried to explain everything away with scientific reasoning, scientific logic. And, you know, it just was completely contrary to what God says in His Word. And yet, when you watched it, it got my attention. I'm sure it got a lot of other people's attention, too. So we see that that's one of those things that Satan will use in those false doctrines. We see that not only should we release false doctrines, but we should release foolish demands. You know, in the Bible, we see that many times the Jewish people who had converted to Christianity struggled in their minds and in their hearts with going back to the law. And because the law was so strict upon what they could eat, what they could do, everything, it governed every single aspect of their life. And the Jewish converts struggled with, well, you know, we've got to keep all these things in order to retain our salvation. And of course, Paul, many times in the Bible, speaks out against that, saying it's not the law that saves you, but it's Christ and his sacrifice for you. And many times in today's life, we see that there are those who will try to also place those foolish demands upon you. They'll say, well, how many times have you heard on TV, on the radio, when a preacher will say, well, you know, we need to plant a seed. And I'm not preaching against planting a seed, because I firmly believe that when you give from your heart, God will bless you for it. But the problem that I run into is when a preacher says, well, if you'll send us $1,200 as a seed, then we're going to grow it, and you're going to get this, this, and this. When you start putting numbers on what God's going to bless, you're speaking for yourself, and you're not speaking for the Lord. And so you see these foolish demands. You see these folks who are basically saying that you have to do A, B, and C in order to get X, Y, and Z. My Bible tells me that all you simply have to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he saved you, and believe in your heart and confess your sins. And that's it. It's simple. You know, and as a kid, we used to hear the ABCs of salvation: accept, believe, and confess. It's that simple. There's nothing else. There's not a D, an E, and an F to that. It's ABC, and you're done. So those foolish demands of some in the world are things that we need to release. We read in verses 5 through 10 some of the fleshly deeds that Paul says we need to release. He mentioned some by name: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication, lying. He goes on and on, naming different things. So, you know, I'm not going to dwell on those, because it's pretty self-explanatory when you hear those words of what those things actually mean. Things that you need to release from your life. You know, I've often talked about patience and how sometimes I struggle in my own life, patience while driving in the D.C. area. You know, and it hasn't gotten any easier. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and tell you, yes, I've gained all kinds of patience. I just drive down the road saying hallelujah and keep going. I don't. There are times when I'm driving, when I'm sure if someone were to look at me, I'm probably got this scowl on my face that just simply doesn't reflect the attitude of Christ. And, you know, that's something that in my own life I struggle with. There are many things, you know, I can name all kinds of things that I've struggled with in the past, things that we need to release. So not only should we keep some things in our life, not only should we let go of some things, retain and release, but we see later on in verses 3 through 4 that there are some things that must be remembered when we take this inventory. We see in verse 3 it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." First of all, we have to remember that there's been a death. I've already talked about that this morning, the death of Jesus Christ. He paid that sacrifice for us. But, you know, I'm so glad that it didn't end on that cross. You know, some people preach that it stopped there, stopped at the cross. He was laid in a grave and that was it. But he didn't stay in that grave. You know, when Joseph took him and those that were gathered there took him down from that cross and carried him to that borrowed tomb and placed him there, you know, even though they'd been told that in 3 days I'm going to rise, you know, I think deep in their hearts they probably didn't really believe it, because otherwise on that third day they all would have been waiting there at that tomb, waiting for him to rise up and come out. So many times we as Christians that have accepted Christ doubt some of those things that he already tells us that he's going to do. You know, there's been a lot of of trials. There's been a lot of problems. There's been sicknesses. There's been deaths this past year. It was a hard year. I don't know about for you, but for me, it was a hard year. I went to more funerals this past year than I've ever gone to in my entire life. Family members, friends. I just, you know, it seems like every month I was getting a call saying, hey, so-and-so just passed away. We need you to come to a funeral. Sometimes there were two or three in a month. And, you know, looking back on that, I can say, well, you know, that was really hard. Why would God allow such things to happen? And, you know, many times we as humans with our fleshly nature often ask that question, why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening? And, you know, we think of, well, you know, if God is a loving God, he wouldn't allow this. But the Bible says that his ways are far above our ways. We can't even begin to comprehend just what he's trying to do. Sometimes we can see it. Sometimes in a bad situation, we can see things come together in a way that it has to be through God. But those are some things that need to be remembered. There was a death. There was a deposit. Through his death on the cross, there was a deposit made for our soul, deposit made for our salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ washed away our sin. It made that deposit for us and gave us eternal security. Many times when you make a deposit in the bank, you see that if your bank is a credit union, it's insured. If it's not a credit union, it's also insured, FDIC, and different things. So you know when you put that money in there that if something were to happen to it, you're going to get it back. You know, if the bank gets robbed, well, even if your theoretically money is stolen, it's going to be safe because it's insured. It's backed up. When Christ made that deposit on the cross, it insured our soul. The only thing that we need to do is accept it. You know, it's a free gift that just needs to be accepted. So there was a death. There was a deposit. We also need to remember that there's been a dream. You know, from the moment of his ascension into heaven, his followers have been looking for him. You know, I've had people come to me after a service and tell me that, well, you know, I don't believe Christ is coming back anytime soon. I don't believe that, you know, we got to go through this, this, and this before he comes back. I personally don't believe that. If you do, that's fine. You're entitled to believe what you want to believe from your own reading and interpretation of the word. But from what I've read in the Bible says that no man knows the day, no man knows the hour. It gives a whole list of things that are going to happen in the end times, things that are going to come to pass that, if you look around you, are coming to pass. I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to put a time on it and say that it's, you know, 3 days, 3 years, 30 years, because the Bible says no man knows the time, no man knows the day. But there's a dream, there's a hope in Christ that he is coming back. You know, there's a lot of things in our own life that I'm sure we need to get rid of. Some things that need to be released. There's some things in your life that they should be kept, but they should be kept, but they should be worked on a little bit. Some of those beliefs that you have, some of those convictions that you have that may be there, but they need to be worked on a little bit. Yeah, we're a month into 2014 already. January's gone. You might as well say next week, next weekend starts a new month. It's a short month, so if January went by as quick as it did, then I'm sure February's going to go by even quicker. But it's not too late to take an inventory of yourself and look back on 2013. Look back on 2012 even. Look back on your life and take an account, take an inventory, mark down every single thing that you can think of. Yeah, you know, I've got this in my life. I've got this. I don't have this. I need to get rid of this. I need to keep this. I also need to remember, because many times, even though we've accepted Christ and as our Savior, we forget sometimes everything that he's done for us. We get so caught up in our day-to-day walk that we forget to just stop and thank him. There's a song that one of my favorite groups, Greater Vision, sings that simply says, basically, today, you know, I prayed I didn't need anything. I didn't ask the Lord for anything. I simply wanted to thank him for all those things that he'd done for us. Many times, you know, I've said it before, we use God like a spare tire. It's in the trunk. It's there. But we only use it if we need it. Have a flat, have a blowout. But we have faith and trust that it's there, and it's gonna help us when we need it. Many world religions, their form of God is just that. It's a higher being that they can never reach through their own self. Christianity is unique because it's not a religion. It's a relationship. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, you have a relationship with Almighty God, the very God that spoke this world into existence, is right there at a moment's notice to hear you when you pray, to hear you when you have a problem that you're going through. Yeah, he knows everything that you're going through, but he still wants you to tell him about it. He still wants to hear you pray and ask him to help you. You know, I'm one of the things that I struggle with is praying for myself. You know, I pray all the time for other people, but when something comes up in my own life, you know, I almost feel guilty, you know, because it seems so small compared to so many other things that people are going through. And yet, God has had to convict me of that many times before, because no matter how small, just as that song I sang, his eyes on the sparrow, little sparrow, the Bible says that he knows when that sparrow falls from its nest. If he cares for that sparrow, he cares for you too. It doesn't matter how great or how small you think your problem is, he cares for you. We've got some things to release, some things to retain. We've got some things to remember in our new year, because it is still a new year. So what's it going to be this morning? Are you going to keep on with the old ways that you have had in your life in the past? If you look back and you say, yep, you know, I needed to do this, I needed to do that, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to keep on. You know, the Bible says that one day, all of us who have accepted Christ will have to give an account for what we've done. We'll have to take that inventory, whether we like it or not. We'll have to tell God what we did with the time that he gave us on this earth, because every second that you have, every breath that you breathe is a gift from him. And it's a gift that's designed to be used for his glory and for his service, because that's the only reason we're here. I'm not here to serve Matt Lanham. You're not here to serve yourself. You're not here to simply get rich, as some have said, to eat, live, die, eat your pie in the sky. It's not how it works. You're here to serve God. You're here to give every ounce of your strength to serve him. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a missionary, a pastor. It doesn't mean it's a full-time ministry, because all of us, in a sense, are called in to full-time ministry, because all of us have that great commission that says, go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have a mission field right around us. You can look around and see that there's problems all around us. Almost every day you turn on the news and you hear of violence, you hear of things that are happening just right in our backyards. And I know I've said before, sometimes it can be a daunting task to go up to someone and say, hey, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or do you go to church? For some folks, it's harder than it is for others. Some folks just have that natural personality that likes to talk to people. Some folks are a little more shy and they don't like to talk to people, but it can be as simple as handing them a tract and say, hey, I've got something for you to read. Read it for me. It doesn't mean that you'll lead them to Christ right there, but the main and important thing is that you've planted that seed. God will honor that seed that you've planted in their life, of that little thought, that little instance of salvation that you've planted in their life. He will water that and nurture it, cause it to grow. So this morning, I want you to think back, not only on this past year, but your entire walk with Christ, really. I want you to look on your hearts and think, you know, there were things that I've done that I need to get out of my life. There are things that are in there, but like I said, they aren't where they need to be. And if you're where you need to be, then still thank Him and praise Him for what He's done for you. This morning, if you've been listening to this and it doesn't really make sense because you haven't taken that first step to accept Christ as your Savior. You know, many times because we have church with someone every Sunday, because they're there faithfully, we take it for granted that they are saved, that they're a Christian. You know, it's often been called going through the motions, playing the game. It's not a game. It's something far more serious. It's your eternal destiny, because, like I said, no man knows the hour that He's coming back. He could come back before we open those doors this morning and call His children home to be with Him. Or something tragic could happen and you could be called out of this life, even at a young age. It doesn't matter. Have you accepted Him this morning? I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do it. Don't put it off. You know, many times people say, well, you know, I'll wait until this time to do that. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. As I pray, if you have something that you need to get right with God, do it in your hearts this morning. If you need someone to talk to, we're here. You can talk to us. Whatever you need, whatever your problems, whatever your concerns may be, I encourage you to get those right with God this morning. I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I just thank You for everything that You've done for us, everything that You've given us, everything that You've blessed us with.